$1 billion. And this is what you have to do. You've got $100 million. And nothing else will satisfy you. Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? And you said yes! Yes! A note to the Inquirer could put an end to all of this. I showed your body and your world and all of its emptiness. Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? And you say yes! Yes! You gained the world. You gained the world and lost your soul. We play the game, but someone else is in control. Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? They all say yes! Yes! I am dehumanized. I have no identity. I guess it doesn't matter what you do to me. Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? We all say yes! Yes! So! Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? Do you want me on my knees? And you say yes! Yes! Please, do you want me on my knees? Please, do you want me on my knees? Like this?
This program is a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to 621-WRCT or WRCT 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Pittsburgh, PA 15213.
Hello, my fabulous polyamorous radio guests, and welcome to yet another issue of WRCT's Love Line. This is WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3, and the time is approximately 11:05, 11:06. I'm your host. I'm one of your many co-hosts, DJ Polyamorous, COSAC 2000, and we've got a small studio tonight because most of our operatives are out on special assignment all over the globe. With me, however, in the studio tonight is...
It's Pablo, and I'm very eager to hear the show today.
And our extremely special ex-polyamorous radio caller, Jeff, who called in last week. I believe it was last week.
It was last week.
And is now joining us. He was so intrigued by the show next week that he wants to share with us his experiences with polyamory. The title of the show is Jading the Inner Sanctum, and we're going to talk about the experiences of a former polyamorous, a person who's been there, done that, and decided that polyamory is not for him. I don't know if that's right.
Actually, that's not exactly accurate. I remain mildly idealistic, but I have learned a lot from the conflict between monogamy and polyamory.
I guess we should step back a little bit. Polyamory, the classical Greek definition of polyamory is many loves, many lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Does this refer to as many sexual? So, for example, when... way back, Tara, and previous guests, when they defined polyamory, they defined it as multiple sexual partners, but also multiple emotional partners that you could actually be in love with at the same time. Do you agree with that definition, or what's your take on?
I think those are two different things, but I think that they can both be under the scope of polyamory.
Right.
What I'm referring to when I say polyamory is strictly multiple sexual partners.
Interesting. And so do you consider yourself a have you just dabbled in polyamory, or do you consider yourself a polyamorous by nature, by birth?
Polyamorist?
Okay. Boy, this is a fun word. Polyamorous more by virtue of sort of ideal, because I have a hard time equating sexuality with relationship.
But you don't have any problems having sex inside a relationship, right? Just to make things clear.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Certainly not. No, I just don't. When my former lover and I, actually, shortly after we first met, we sat down and had a long conversation with each other, which she's threatened to rewrite as a play because it was such an amusing conversation.
That's disturbing. So this is a female girlfriend or possible romantic partner that you're having this discussion with?
Yes, right? This was a female girlfriend or possible romantic partner. So actually, we had this conversation. It was in the context of, okay, so we had been dating for a couple of weeks. And that evening we had gone to the symphony, and on the way to the symphony she had sort of delicately said something like, I'm interested in this going further.
Further meaning more partners, or further meaning?
further meaning our relationship advancing into sexuality. But so
the symphony metaphor is kind of an intriguing one from a polyamorous point of view, right? You know, everyone has a
multiple
role.
Multiple instruments in harmony.
Yes, exactly.
Can I digress for
please
a few seconds? So there's this only this time. There's this vocabulary that I haven't quite understood completely. The dating and the dating, and then once you were dating somebody, you decided to go further. Can you describe the 3 or 4 degrees that are involved in all these expressions, just for no more than a minute?
Yeah. Okay, so the emphasis on dating was the fact that we weren't going any further. So
how about dating? Dating would just be seeing a movie or?
No. So I was referring to dating in general. So dating can include going further, but when I said dating, I meant we were just going out on dates, period.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Meaning socially you're going to, like, symphonies. But you weren't actually, there was no sexual contact? Were you kissing?
There was no sexual contact.
Frottage?
No basis whatsoever.
All right.
So she's getting impatient that nothing is happening, that you're not taking an initiative, so she brings it up delicately on the way to the symphony.
Just something along those lines, yes. And I said, okay, we'll talk about that. And sure enough, we did, well into the morning.
Isn't it sort of like irritating to have, I mean, you usually have to put up with these long kind of heartfelt conversations after you've been having sex and getting something out of it.
Like a BDSM contract. That's the feeling I was getting.
Why all this negotiation beforehand? You mean you haven't even...
Well, as...
This is like that...
That comes back to the sort of idealism thing. As your previous polyamorites stated, the key to such a relationship is communication, and both of us arrived at that concept during our conversation that evening. We talked about everything from the potential for other partners to the potential for marriage, and you know the institution and what we thought of it, which actually neither of us particularly have had an interest in it. But
if you're just John and you're listening to Love Lines, what are the phone numbers, DJ?
I believe country code 1, area code 412-268-WRCT if you're on campus, and 621-WRCT if you're not. For our foreign listeners, WRCT stands for 9728.
And we're talking to Jeff, an ex-polyamorite, who is telling us of the experience.
So this is just one of these wide-ranging kind of conversations where you're just kind of sharing your kind of moral point of view.
Exactly. And we decided that we wanted to have a open relationship, but at the time, the definition of an open relationship was a relationship in which nothing is off limits communication-wise, in which if one of us was interested in something else or having a problem with something in the relationship, that we would have no pressure about discussing it. Now, obviously, that's an ideal that most people aspire to, and well, that I hope most people aspire to in their relationships.
Right. Well, after you've had a few, and then you start not aspiring to it because of the mishaps that you've experienced by being too sincere
and
talking too much.
Which one is jaded here?
So indeed, you decided that you wanted to have one of these entirely honest, completely sharing kind of relationship.
Exactly.
And I think that's beautiful. I don't know where this jadedness comes from.
I think the attempt is glorious and worth undertaking. However, many have perished in the attempt.
Strangely, it worked. It worked very well. Probably because both of us were genuinely interested in maintaining it. Neither of us had any, I mean, I've said before that I'm very, very hard to shame. I don't have any problem talking about much of anything.
Then you've come to the right show.
So, you know, even you know, highly, or topics that could have been highly confrontational, like the standard, oh, what did you think of her, as somebody is walking by.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not to interrupt you, but this is sort of, what is the alternative to a completely honest relationship? I mean, I believe I tell my partner more or less everything.
Oh, I think a lot of people are in the alternative to a completely honest relationship, which is a relationship in which a protective silence is assumed. A quote-unquote protective silence.
And so, I mean, what are the hot button issues? Like, is this like, you know, is this sort of a do you think I'm fat thing, or are we talking more?
Interesting, because one of the most interesting conversations that we had during this, the day after we had our long conversation, we drove to a different city and had a lot of time to talk in the car. And on the way back from this adventure, we still had not done anything physical. She asked me specifically what I thought of her when I first saw her.
Ooh.
Now, I have to put this in context, and this is going to be interesting. But I actually met this woman because I answered her personal ad.
Cool. This is the IP or city paper or something like that? Or
I was not living in Pittsburgh
on the internet
time, but it was in the equivalent of, you know, a city paper kind of thing, except
more sort of not, we got it, okay.
except in a different city. But anyway, our initial contact actually was on the phone. Our first date, quote unquote, was a 3-hour phone call.
I mean, did you leave a message in her voicemail box saying, yeah? I mean, so what is this, one of these voicemail?
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
Personal things?
So I called up and I listened to her voice message, and yes, that was that was what I had never answered a personal ad before. That was what
you drew, know, you to her. Like, did she, what was it, a hobby she described? What's the sound of her voice? Polyamory, was that mentioned?
her voice message was the top 5 things to know about X, her name. And it was in, she touched on her politics, she touched on her interests, and it seemed to me to be a fit.
Cool.
So I left a short but sweet message. Apparently something on the order of 50 men answered her phone, her message, of which I believe 3 she still stays in some contact with.
Does that include you?
That includes me, yes.
Did she find your response special enough to call you back, or did she actually call all 50 men?
She called most of them back. She apparently, the protocol after she had done it for a little while, and I was one of the after she had done it for a little while things. I mean, the ad ran for 3 weeks or something like that, and I believe I answered it in the second week of its running. She actually would sit around at work with a bunch of her friends and listen to their responses, and they would give an immediate yay or nay.
Oh, wow.
It's my kind of work day.
I'm very interested in this because I've never done the personal ad thing, but I know a lot of people do, and it seems really intriguing to me. I mean, it seems like you could vastly expand your range of potential partners that way. But anyway.
But, yeah, anyway, so back to my original story. She asked me what I thought of her.
Bookmark.
She asked me what I thought of her when I first saw her. And I answered, rather unfortunately, honestly, that initially I was not particularly impressed with her physical being. And that was cause for a little bit of flack. Initially, she was impressed that I could actually answer so honestly.
Yeah, that's a flaw. I mean, that's a flawed kind of honesty. I mean, honesty is relative. Well, anyway, go on, please. I'm sorry. I'm just
I like this tangent.
That's what I meant before.
I mean, you can't. See, the thing is, you can always find, you know, especially when it comes to things like personal appearance, you can always find good ways to put things. So you wouldn't have to say, you know, good God, you were sort of physically repulsive, but...
No, and I didn't.
Okay, so what did you say?
It was more or less those words. It was something like, you know, I was not terribly physically attracted to you initially, which was true, but that... immediately after that came a discussion of like what I was thinking during the conversation and why I was still proceeding with it. And I said, well, regardless of that, I still was sexually attracted to you.
Ooh. So there's a distinction between physical and sexual.
Oh, absolutely. In my mind, there's a very clear distinction. People's sexual personae are linked perhaps to their physical appearance, but...
That's funny. I always felt that, but I always equated being attracted physically with their sexual persona. Somebody who would not fit my model of beauty at all could be very beautiful. So what do you feel when you see somebody beautiful you're not sexually attracted to then?
Well, I tend not to be terribly impressed with physique, so that's a hard question to answer.
Well, so, okay. So you weren't impressed with her physique, but you are not usually impressed with
exactly.
Any physiques. And you could have said that and have saved the day that way, you know.
And eventually she came to understand that, but...
So apparently there were features that were matching your sexual attraction filter. And what are those features? If they're presumably somewhat non-standard.
Goodness, that's hard to describe.
This is
the one that I have certainly, I mean, you know, this is going to... Self-confidence. I mean, I like very self-confident women.
Hmm.
I mean, what can you say?
I was just having a little fantasy of my own involving self-confident women.
I think most people like self-confident people in general.
Well, no kidding. I mean, that's why I say it's... but I think that that's something that a lot of people overlook. I think that a lot of people are... rather wrongly attracted simply on for physical reasons and find themselves in poorly fitted relationships because they've been drawn in by something physical. But anyway,
well, there's something to say for laying in the twilight and seeing a beautifully shaped hip right next to you, right?
True.
Okay.
Juan and I were actually just browsing the internet last night looking at butts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct.
And, finding some rather shapely ones. But anyway, so...
I've regressed in my incredibly idealistic stage, and I must say that...
I feel like
a lot of these things have changed since then, so...
Okay.
We need to enhance the chronometer a little bit. Let's jump forward a little bit to... You're going out with this woman. You've had this 24-hour conversation. That's over with. And you're now going out, and the idea of polyamory, and how does the polyamory enter this relationship?
So, like I said, originally we just had a open communication relationship with the sort of unspoken potential for polyamory. I have to date the actual polyamory to a particularly amusing episode involving a foursome.
So your introduction to polyamory was a foursome?
Yes.
Hmm.
And that was, in fact, with a couple, a married couple, who were friends of my lover on New Year's Eve.
Wow, that's fabulous. And so they approached you too, or it was your girlfriend's idea?
So the female of the married couple actually had been friends with my lover since high school, and they had, you know, they knew a lot about each other, and they'd sort of, you know, I don't know, perhaps even fantasized about each other for a little while. But sort of the key was that the other couple had actually had a previous foursome with a different set of people. So they had had kind of a mixed time with it. Apparently there had been some baggage afterward that it hadn't really worked out too great. But they weren't entirely cold on the idea, because that apparently came up in conversation, in a private conversation between the two women.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sort of concocted this amusing New Year's Eve plan.
Was this before or after she started putting all the personals on the paper?
This was long after. This was about a year or so into our relationship, a little more than a year into our relationship.
The idea of feeling fished and hunted kind of appeals to me, though, too. Does it appeal to you? If they had put out the personals just to grab somebody to do this with, would you have been happy?
That might have been interesting, but it wouldn't have been me, so I wouldn't wouldn't have been that happy. Anyway,
so your lover had. So what's the sexual orientation of this quad sum? Is everyone basically heterosexual, or what?
So the two women proved themselves to be ardently bisexual.
Excellent.
As they, in fact, started off the evening's activities.
Let me repeat that. Ardently bisexual.
If you're going to be bisexual, you may as well be ardent. So where did this take place, first of all? So it's New Year's Eve. You've been out, presumably, at parties.
We actually planned this fairly thoroughly ahead of time.
Oh, you're planners, quite the planners, I'll say.
Polyamorous, that's one thing you can say about them, is that they're very disciplined people.
Yeah, sometimes.
So it's New Year's Eve. I mean, I can imagine, you know, you all wanting to have a simultaneous orgasm at the stroke of midnight. Now, wouldn't that be? I think that would be very sexy.
It's harder than a syringe through. Imagine
that's
four.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
So you'd plan this. It's New Year's Eve. Put us there. What happened?
Well, let's see. We decided. Well, first of all, we had already decided before we went into it that there would be no cross couple penetration, which was sort of a ground rule we decided to set.
Sounds like a very complicated device.
Mainly because it seems sort of unfair, because the other guy had a vasectomy, and my lover was on birth control. But the wife was unprotected entirely, as was I. So we didn't want sort of unbalanced activities going on, but as far as reproductive capacity.
How old are these people? How much older than you? Do you not have to give the absolute?
They're both about a couple years older than me.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's really interesting, though, because you just have to keep the fertile ones away from each other, right? I mean, the guy with the vasectomy can have sex with anyone, and the woman on birth control can have sex with anyone. Right? It's just the two that are not protected have to stay away from each other.
What an interesting mathematical problem.
I'm not fully grasping it here, but it seems like there's all kinds of ways to mix and match safely. But
I believe that by they're not wanting it to be imbalanced, he probably meant emotionally imbalanced, that he would be doing your girlfriend and you couldn't do his.
Probably would not have been a problem. Anyway.
So
and your full idealism, of course.
I mean, again, I have to focus on this notion of penetration, which I think is so a little bit fuzzy. Do you mean like this is like penile vaginal penetration?
This is strictly reproductive penetration.
So oral sex is allowed.
Oral sex was allowed and
anal?
Engaged in. Anal was not.
Here we go.
Not on the menu, unfortunately.
Bookmark on the, unfortunately. Yeah.
That's right. So, okay, so there's all kinds of enthusiastic oral sex. The two women apparently, okay, so actually I still don't know where we are. Your place? You're at the hotel? What?
Hotel.
Times Square, perhaps?
he's getting steps ahead of me. We did, in fact, have a hotel room agreed upon for privacy and independence.
Neutral ground,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly,
well.
Neutral ground sort of reasons.
This neutral ground thing came up again. Like, why neutral ground? Why not...
Well,
there must be a whole emotional component that I'm not understanding here, like making everyone comfortable and, you know, not... Anyway, I'll shut up.
I think it also had something to do with the season, it being a New Year's Eve, just sort of the go out and party in a hotel room thing had a certain romantic quality to it. But I don't know. I did not actually participate in those arrangements. Anyway, so we went out to dinner to get to know each other a little bit, and then we started a game of strip, and then everything else is poker.
So it started, it was like strip poker originally, and then it became like strip plus. Strip
poker. Strip plus for the computer scientists out there.
How does that work? So
which was essentially sort of dare poker. And the dares got more amusing as we became more comfortable with what was within bounds. And then eventually, I believe the dare that sort of started everything off was the other guy dared, he dared my lover to make his wife come to orgasm.
I played a lot of dare games when I was a teenager, and that's what I was after. That kind of game.
Yeah, it was a remarkably liberating experience.
Your partner dared who's your wife? His wife?
His lover.
Your lover, the woman.
My ex-lover, to make his wife.
Oh wow! So that's a lesbian kind of thing.
Exactly. He wanted to get the ball rolling with that.
Oh, excellent. And did they?
They did. Yes, they immediately proceeded to a bed to start activities.
How long had you known these people?
I'm going to interrupt you. I think we've got a call coming into the studio, so maybe we should go to that. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Tara.
Tara.
Yes, the Tara that was on about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back, Tara.
Well, thanks.
What do you have on your mind?
Well,
or
anywhere
else?
The episode that I was on also dealt with polyamory, and my confusion lies in I hear a lot of group sex going on. I'm not really hearing anything about polyamory. I'm curious if the gentleman equates polyamory with group sex.
No.
No.
Definitely not. This was just the introductory overture to the possibility of more partners.
Ah. Okay, so...
We're talking about the life-altering sexual experience that opened the door to this entirely new lifestyle.
So you had never considered polyamory until this encounter?
Not necessarily. We had considered it. It just hadn't necessarily been at the forefront. And in fact, it wasn't really until she actually became interested in another guy and talked about it with me, and I said, "How about it?"
That's kind of how it happened with my relationship, too. I've had an open relationship for a year and a half, and shows no signs of slowing down.
Well, ours lasted 3.5, so...
Wow.
3.5 years?
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's over.
Gracious.
That was... I hadn't caught the whole show, and I'm kind of wary. I've had friends equate polyamory with sleeping with everyone you can.
No, and that definitely, I mean, was never really the idea. It was more sort of an openness to, you know, the possibility of multiple partners.
Okay, that's cool. I guess that was my only concern and my only question.
All right, thank you for calling, Tara.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye.
If we do have any listeners in the latter variety who are interested in sex with anyone that you can, please call in. In fact, we'd love to have you as a guest. Special kind of guest. But indeed, you know, Tara makes a good point, which is that polyamory typically means feeling emotion, and it's more of a relationship type thing than kind of a sex pig type thing. But since my particular interest is the latter, I think we should focus on that for just a few minutes more.
Well, not only that, but for your first experience in polyamory, it's good to be surrounded by other people so you don't have to confront it all by yourself.
Yeah, and I believe you were about that.
the lonely polyamorist is the worst.
An interesting oxymoron. But anyway, you were about to ask how long I had known these people for.
Right, because, I mean, you were very comfortable. Or were you really drunk, one or the other? Or
well, we were drinking, and that was planned as part of the activities. But so I had known the woman sort of vaguely in high school. She was 2 years ahead of me, the other woman, that is. And, in fact, in the small world syndrome, she had briefly dated the exchange student that stayed with my family.
But I've known a lot of people that well, and I wouldn't feel comfortable bringing them to orgasm in front of two other people.
And I was very much the sort of fourth wheel in the equation. And going into it, you know, the other clause that I had was, since I don't really know these people very well, I mean, I had met them and I had, you know, sort of done social activities with them a couple of times, there were no expectations. There was no expectations on my participation,
right?
Going in, and that was my only caveat going in was, I have no problem with this situation, but just nobody expect me to do anything.
Wow. So going back to the kind of lesbian encounter on the bed. So these two women are going at it, being pleasured. And what are you two guys doing? Are you like pleasing each other? Are you just watching and stroking yourselves, or what?
Well, for the most part, we were just a cheering section. But
cheering,
actively cheering.
Well,
it was a sports event.
I think it was much more of a turn on to the other guy than it was for me. I mean, not that it's not a turn on, but he had like a very particular fantasy about seeing other women engage in oral sex with his wife. So, you know, it was clearly turning him on.
Okay, so it was a turn on. So what was he doing about it?
Well, he eventually sort of manually participated.
With them or with himself?
With
or
them.
With you? Okay.
Meaning what? Manual? What?
I think
groping various...
I need concrete details. So he was, they were kind of lapping. So someone was lapping your, this guy's wife was lapping. No,
the other way around.
Your girlfriend was lapping at this one. This guy's wife.
You like that verb, lapping?
I need details. What is lapping?
So your girlfriend has her face in this guy's wife's crotch, and is stimulating her with her tongue.
Yes.
Okay. Meanwhile, this guy is like telling her what to do, like lick here, stroke there, or is he actually touching or like grabbing breasts, or is he actually inserting himself? There was some kind of no insertion.
Well,
not penetration, but insertion.
Are you guys all naked? Is everyone?
Yeah.
Naked?
Well, actually, we weren't entirely naked at that point. The strip poker had diverged long before we actually lost all our clothes. So he busied himself to getting naked. Then he got on the bed next to them, and I think mostly initially started by, you know, probably stroking his wife, breasts, kissing, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I don't have clear details on that. I know that I wasn't on the same bed or participating initially, but then eventually it became sort of a group pile-on.
Nice. What were the sexual feelings between you and him? No doubt they were powerful.
Well, it's curious because we had broached that topic before the things got up, and sorry about that, but it seemed that we were both sort of comfortable with the idea of being around another guy, but neither of us was willing to initiate anything truly, you know, bisexual.
Right.
So we did touch each other, not sexually, but we did touch each other during the activities. And he also kissed me on the butt cheek during the dare portion of the strip game.
But that was just a dare. Like, I dare you to kiss everyone's butt cheek.
Ah, well, yeah, they're like playing doctor, big deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That happens all the time. So, but you touched each other, I mean, but not sexually. I don't understand how that works. So you're having sex, but you touch each other, but
we didn't
not
touch
sexual.
Each other's penises, is essentially what I'm saying.
Okay. So that's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, I know that that heterosexual men are really into watching lesbians do it. Like, do you find like the side? Do you find that seeing except for Pablo? Do you find that is his like engorged kind of, you know, glistening member? Is that a turn off, or do you not mind it there just as long as it stays away from you?
I don't mind it.
It's just like as long as he's doing his thing. You know, it's interesting to look at.
In fact, in a way, it's sort of a turn-on because it is something overtly sexual. And something overtly sexual, to me, is always a turn-on.
Right. But, well, as Pablo and I were discussing when we were looking at butts on the internet, he actually finds penises a turn-off. He sees a penis and it's just like, you know.
I think it's an ugly thing.
I don't.
but I don't think I have particularly strongly... macho attitudes about these topics, but yeah, I find penis aesthetically displeasing. I like the reaction that they cause in some women some of the time, but I certainly don't like to see them around. They remind me somehow of the lowness of what I'm doing, of the animal behavior that I'm engaging in, you know, if you will.
Juan, I think you hate your own penis. Is that a fair comment, Juan Pablo?
Ah, whatever, Juan Pablo. Yeah, that's the name of the Pope, I think. Well, no, no. I like my penis like a good carpenter likes a power saw. It's a great tool that gives me great pleasure, but I don't admire it. It's just functional. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the difference.
Well, maybe it's not a power saw.
A bit challenging, but
maybe it's a manual screwdriver. I don't know. It might even be rusty, for all I know. So you don't have this reaction to penises, penises, whatever.
Phalluses.
You don't have this reaction to them.
Oh no.
But you couldn't touch it.
I didn't say I couldn't. I.
Well, you that was, you didn't, which is
right.
In such a scenario.
That was
maybe
sort of agreed as off limits.
Oh, I see. Did you feel like you wanted to?
No, not particularly. Not in this case. I mean.
Well, that's curious because everything else is going on, but yet there is this little thing that you don't feel like doing.
Yeah, there were probably lots of things that I didn't feel like doing.
No, I mean, it's just interesting because that's one of the big things. You know, like two genders, four people, you know. The two women are going at it, the women and men are going at it, so there's one clear option that's left.
And
it's just interesting.
And that was talked about beforehand, and it was pretty clear that while particularly he was, you know, comfortable with the group dynamic, he was definitely not even bicurious.
Yeah. I mean, I in my powerful college experiences, there was one kind of threesome opportunity that I remember, and I remember just the opposite feeling. Like, I was totally ready to do it with the man, but was completely uninterested in the women. So I'm telling you that I can relate to this idea because sometimes the... I mean, it seems sort of cruel to judge people based on their genitalia, but sometimes it just sort of works out that way.
I do it all the time.
So after the two women are sort of working on each other, then what's the next step? Do the guys join in? Or?
Let's see. Well, like for a while it became, like I said, a sort of a group grope with, you know, faces and hands everywhere. And then it broke off into the partner swap.
Which is what you had not... But I thought that was off-bounds as well.
It was off-bounds.
Oh, penetration was. Okay, I'm sorry.
But everything else was completely acceptable.
And you were sexually attracted to the partner, if I'm...
The wife.
The other woman, yeah.
Yeah, reasonably, yeah.
And so the two...
You would be a good politician. Reasonably? Okay, go on.
Well, I say that because I didn't really know her that well. And for me, a lot of sexual attraction is predicated on how well I know a person.
Right, so but given that, at that point, you still wanted to go through with it, or you you were interested enough to have some kind of sexual contact with her? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that I would mostly attribute to the dynamic of the evening. I mean, it just was... As soon as all of us had our clothes off and things went underway, it was just perhaps one of the most free feelings I've ever had in my life. It was just sort of like, whoa.
But it was torture until the clothes came off.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Yeah, these things can be so liberating. It's such a shame that we're not more open with our sexuality and with our relationships. I mean.
Well, on the other hand, I think, can we switch into slight emotional part of this business? I mean, I think there's a good reason.
Well, if we're going to have a topic change, I want to mention that our website is available, as always, at http://loveline.wrct.com. Go ahead, please, Pablo.
Well, it's not a... I'm sorry, I don't mean to do the topic change so quickly. But I think there's a reason why we're not so free with this kind of things. Polyamory in general, or group sex, or group ropes, I'm sorry, that's what you call them. But which is, the chances that we get baggage, as you called it before, are very great. And this is manifested in how careful you were to set ground rules, and that you went to the hotel, and maybe even that it had to be on New Year's Eve when you're supposed to go a little crazy. Mm-hmm. You're protecting yourself, and that's why we don't do it all the time.
Which brings up the trouble with ideals.
Right.
The trouble with ideals is that not everybody shares them. It's all...
Including yourself.
Yeah. I mean...
You think you do, but
in some cases, yes. Yeah. Very much so. It's all well and good to have... To have completely honest opinions about... sexuality as it relates to relationships, about the importance of sexual acts, about love and sexuality, even.
Elevating frolicking.
Yeah. And if it is not thoroughly mutual, then all bets are off. Baggage is guaranteed to happen. So the trick is finding some way to make it thoroughly mutual and to maintain that. And for a while, I feel like I had that.
Thoroughly mutual means someone who's in complete agreement with your ideals? Or what are we...
Someone who is at least, understands your ideals, and, two, does not have ideals or practices that conflict with them.
I think you need more. You also need to not only know what the other's ideals are, but how far the reality goes. They may think, well, having sex with somebody else is okay if you don't love them. You hear that all the time. But you need to know how far they can go with it.
Well, why is it like this? Why is sex in this special arena? If I want to play soccer with you, we don't have to have this painful discussion
about what you're sucking from. But that's a question that I've been trying to answer for myself for a long time, because I also had this ideal. Now I still have the ideal, but I know it doesn't work, and I don't know why. Yes,
I believe that it doesn't work because most people don't really believe it. Most people do not. I mean, even if they give it lip service, they don't really believe it.
Well, so fine. If you don't believe it, why don't you? That's the same question, I think.
Well, I still do for myself.
Is it just lack of training? I mean, if you have. I mean, certainly, as some of our guests would attest, some of our guests do have sex purely for sport, and it doesn't have to mean anything in the kind of grand...
But it not meaning something to you, and it not meaning something to your partner entirely different things.
If I go to the park and have anonymous sex, that's about as meaningless as...
All right, so...
Well, I think this is why all these guests fascinate me, because they're able to do something that I have a hard time doing emotionally, and that I would like to do. I would like to achieve that higher plane of being where I can have sex for sport, and I can't. So maybe you can explain a little more. I don't know how you're going to go about it. I don't have a good question to ask you to prompt it, unfortunately.
Well, I almost feel a need to segue into... to take a slight tangent here.
Second tangent of the evening. I don't know if I can permit that. All right.
We'll come back.
One of the things that we talked about in this long discussion that started our whole thing was the concept of, if we were going to have an open communicative relationship, what would happen in the case that one of us found somebody who we were much more interested in? And at the time, and even, in fact, to a great extent now, my answer was the same as hers, and it was great. It's an amazing thing. I mean, if our relationship is that good that it's gone on that long, and you find something that is better, wow, you know, that's just incredible.
So you would let your partner go and experience that relationship in lieu of yours purely out of some kind of calculus of maximum relationship harmony?
Well,
even if it harmed your, even if you lost her to somebody else, that would be
okay?
It's
also pragmatic. It's a purely pragmatic thing.
This is so like Ayn Rand, I can't even.
Yes, yes, yes.
No.
No, that's what it is.
So
totally rational. Where's your emotion?
Here's the fun part. No,
you're
so
selfish.
Okay. Yes. What if my partner finds somebody that she is legitimately more interested in, and I deny her that right? What does that do for our relationship?
Right. I mean, in some sense, I guess practically, you know, if somebody truly better in all respects comes along, the only thing you can do is bow out because you have no other choice anyway.
And, of course, the ultimate irony is that is
in fact. Carl and Francine had. So back to the Rand thing, maybe relationship contracts should be enforced more regularly. Sorry.
So I've had debates before with pure monogamists who would say that that is part of the agreement of a monogamous relationship is that you don't even entertain the thought of other relationships.
Well, those are naive people with ideals as well, which don't correspond to reality.
But it's a little bit abstract anyway, because what happens in real life is that somebody comes along who's different. He's better in some ways, worse in other ways, certainly doesn't have the history that you have. So there's all kinds of
variables. Might be an advantage.
Right. So there's all kinds of variables. It's not like, you know, I mean, I think everyone would agree, if the person is better in every possible way, then maybe you should
know. But even if that could be true, absolutely, you could never know that, and your partner could never know that.
Absolutely not. Though.
So you have to fight. You have to, damn it, I want you. You're not denying them the right. The reason you're upset is that you know you don't have the right. Otherwise, you would get upset about it. But you're.
So this happened? Why are we talking about this? I forget.
Yes.
So somebody came along.
The tangent.
Somebody came along, or
somebody came along who my partner now describes as her soulmate.
Ooh.
Or my former partner now describes as her soulmate.
Oof.
Which is an interesting concept. And she, after briefly maintaining for a few months anyway, maintain our agreement, and continued to essentially see both of us. Though she cut off all other options.
I don't understand what she cut off all of.
She was actually sort of, well, she had been seeing at least two other guys who she suddenly decided she was not really interested in when she met her quote-unquote soulmate.
I see. So there was the soulmate, and there was you, sort of the quasi-soulmate, and there's all these sort of also-rans.
And you had to live through several weeks of transition, where it was clear that you were becoming more and more marginalized. My heart bleeds for you. That's so much harder than being able to hate somebody.
This is so awful. And so I assume, is she with this person
as we speak? It's entirely possible. I have obviously met him, and in fact, for a time there was talk of more group sex with him and his other partner.
And this time you couldn't do that.
Oh no, I didn't object to it. In fact,
who are you people?
Yeah.
So wait, he had another partner who was presumably not his soulmate, or was there like some sort of soulmate transitivity going on here?
He had another partner who. Who he had had essentially a monogamous relationship with for 3 years, I believe, and he more or less dumped her for this new relationship.
Wow.
Though for a little while, you know, it was a four-pronged, it was a love quadrangle.
Oh, that is so awesome.
And in fact,
maybe a love
the
square.
Three of them did have a threesome.
Cool. Let's see, a love quadrangle. No, it wasn't a love quadrangle because you were only attached to one person in that love
wrap. And so, well, sort of. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and actually, I met the other woman, and there was just so little between us that was actually probably the main reason why they only had a threesome and not a foursome.
So you two are on the far ends of this, like, love line, if you will.
And oh, no.
And the other two were in the middle. I mean, mathematically speaking, this is a straight line with 4 points on it. And you two are on the ends, dangling, as it were.
Yes.
Okay, so now I understand it. Now that I've established a formalism in which I can cast this problem. All right, but so then there's this transition period where they're, like, getting closer and closer, and you two are getting more and more marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was all sorts of confusion. My lover went back on birth control, despite the fact that her new lover has a vasectomy, which was essentially a plea to me to make things equal, since he could have unprotected sex with her. She wanted to give me that option as well.
That's very nice.
So, you know, for a little while, you know, things were very, very ambivalent. And I stated my case, and the irony, of course, is that, like, perhaps a month before this happened, in one of our, you know, air things out conversations, she had asked me, what if I met somebody and I wanted to enter a monogamous relationship with them, and I said that to you? And I said, okay, here's what I would say. I would say, you know, X, you know, her name. I probably should give her a pseudonym, but anyway.
Zena. That starts with an X.
Zena, I love you very much, and I would love to maintain a relationship with you and make up your mind.
Indeed, meaning you have to choose, or
no, no.
Or but, I mean, you hope it comes with a solution that includes you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Forgive me for what I'm about to say. The coldness with which you appear to manage your love affairs is really distressing. I wonder what the rest of the love affair is like, if you can treat the juncture points, if you will, with such.
I mean,
rationality.
If you were Leonardo DiCaprio, you'd be screaming outside her. I mean, I'm thinking of kind of Romeo and Juliet scene here. I mean, there'd be all kinds of emotion. You'd be like, take me. And you'd be like, I don't know, running through the beach naked or something. It would be all this, like, emotional.
You would cleanse yourself by getting really drunk and going to jail one night.
You would shave your head.
At this point, some of it is that I have the rationality of distance. Distance.
Yeah, but you're telling us that back then you were making these decisions rationally. You were asked, what would you say? And you said, I would say, you must choose.
Well,
so
that one was before it happened. It's easy to make rational statements like that before things actually happen. And when it happened, it actually made it a little easier to say that because I had already set the precedent. But that's not to say that this transition period was not one of the worst periods of my life.
So is this the source of the jadedness that we are exploring tonight?
Ah, yes. It could be. And in fact, one thing that I have learned is that as it comes back to the mutuality arguments, it's hard for me to say that all along we have both placed exactly the same weights on exactly the same aspects of relationships and sex and love. And
what are the chances you would have?
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry.
So in some respects, I attribute that to, well, there's nothing to attribute, though. I mean, the relationship did not fail. It went to a different relationship. She still writes.
Wow.
Which
the transmogrification of relationships, or something.
Okay. I mean, there was no inherent flaw in the relationship, is what I intended to say. The relationship did not die, except by the fact that she chose a different man.
Well, it right, but I mean, you know, that's just.
But she did not choose this other guy because there was anything inherently wrong with me or the relationship, is what I'm trying to.
But I mean, there's a point here. I mean,
that's a good point.
Every beginning implies an ending, as I'm so fond of saying. And so, you know, so if every relationship comes to an end one way or another, you have to judge whether it came to an end in a good way or not.
And it is very hard to be, I mean, it's easy to be bitter at the loss, which, yes, I am.
It's and natural. And you might not be so bitter if you had gotten it out of your system by being emotional at the time.
Oh, believe me, I was.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, so we're just not getting too much of that now. I mean, so I presume there were tears and lots of, you know, various trips.
Did you stalk her?
No. Apparently the other girlfriend took the much more standard route. She transitioned essentially weekly and then oscillated down to about daily between saying, you know, I'm at peace with this situation and I hate you, blah, 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 blah. And apparently has, you know, called and said hateful things to my, you know, to my ex-lover and blah, blah, blah. So... As much as I have respect for that route,
we wouldn't have literature without it. So respect it.
Yeah.
Not true. So it looks like we have about 1 minute left. Actually,
that clock is fast. But
so, would you advise to somebody going into a similarly totally rational, idealistic relationship? Would you advise them to continue it the way you did and suffer the consequences?
I would advise them of exactly this consequence, which is what do you do when and if in the exploratory nature of a polyamorous relationship, your partner arrives at somebody who they wish to be monogamous with.
Okay. Sorry, let me rephrase. Would you have gone through it at the beginning the way you did if you knew what the end was going to be like?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait a minute. How can you even ask that question? I mean, like I said, every relationship ends, and in fact, every relationship ends painfully, except for the last one.
And then that
maybe
ends
maybe
death,
even the last
perhaps.
One ends painfully too. I mean, that, you know, relationships all suck. I mean, they're great while you're in them, but they all end tragically. If they end, they end tragically.
Well, but you can suspect that you encourage the end by pretending to be so open about it and pretending that your emotions were different from what they were. Or maybe you talk cleanly about the emotions as well, and you said, I'm going to hate it, but I'm going to pretend I don't hate it, and you said that openly. There are too many levels in there.
Brainwave, I'm having a thought.
Oh, you're on fire.
I'm sorry. Just some lobe of my brain woke up. Why did she want to be monogamous anyway? I mean, she's naturally polyamorous. She found her soulmate, great, but, you know, presumably you provide services that are unique as well. So why not have both ends of the cake? So
herein lies the definition of soulmate.
Yeah.
Essentially...
She was polyamorous, not poly-soulmate-ish, I guess.
Well, okay, so it's a little more complicated than that.
You have 30 seconds. I'm sorry. we're actually out of time now.
Yeah. But really, she decided that she wanted to try monogamy with this guy. She wanted to switch her lifestyle. She wanted to give a truly, you know, soulmate involved, you know, at every level relationship.
So that leaves me with a question for another show sometime, which is polyamorosity or whatever just a way of not making decisions?
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us. Thank you all to all the polyamorists out there, and good night.
This program is a production of WICT Public Affairs. The opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to 621-WICT or WICT 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Pittsburgh, PA 15213.